call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is hour number three of Wake Up Calls. We continue again, full weekend of football. Just overload of important football. Not, you know, maybe not so much in the NFL. I mean, we're still a few weeks away from really sorting out where this league is going in terms of playoffs. But it isn't too early to start looking at the teams and starting to figure out, hey, is there a team? Let's take a Tampa Bay Buccaneers team that last year was, you know, iffy at this point and then rattled off the rest of the way, 8 straight victories en route to the Super Bowl. Is there a team like that? A team that is just starting to show us something that can be the dangerous football team you don't want to face en route? I wouldn't put the Patriots in that category per se, but I am concerned about them in the AFC. I think this team right now is finding out exactly who they are, and they are a team that plays well together as a team and good enough on defense to beat anybody. And they do, and again, they don't need Mac Jones to do Tom Brady-esque things. We've seen Brady, when he was with the Patriots, lead them back from a double-digit deficit in the fourth quarter, things like that. But we don't have to see it from this guy with this particular team. This defense is that good. Now, again, in their game against Tennessee, the Titans were down a few players. Obviously, when you don't have Derrick Henry and you don't have A.J. Brown and you don't have even Julio Jones, you are changing sort of who you are, right? They still did a good job of running the ball, but they could not throw it against this Patriots team, and especially at a time where they needed to. But if you look at what Bill Belichick's done and how brilliant this has been from going all in on free agency, remember all the talk this offseason was how he built this team to fill in all the holes by spending a lot of money, going out and getting guys to play certain positions, even guys that may not be working out as well, but he filled in the holes and then making the decision that Mac Jones, a rookie, was better prepared and a better option than a veteran in Cam Newton. We're already seeing Cam Newton struggle at Carolina, but Mac Jones is not struggling because this team, like when Brady took it over early in his career, is built with so many good pieces around it. And that's why the Patriots are scary good 2 years after Brady has left the organization. Let's continue more looking at the NFL games from Sunday on Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with Wake Up Call. Austin Gale will join us, Pro Football Focus. We're going to talk some NFL coming up 40 past the hour. Speaking of Detroit, thank you, Kiss. I was really pulling for the Lions on Thanksgiving.
So was I. God, even my
team is driving me nuts.
Even in the face of my stepfather, who's a huge Bears fan.
Sure, right.
I'm like, I can't help it. I got to pull for the Lions here.
That team is driving me crazy, man. They are playing their butts off, and they can't get a win. They just can't do it.
It's like the worst 0-6 or 0-1. What are they?
0-10-1? 0-10-1?
Yeah, they don't, because, I mean, they're the worst at it. Because they really don't look like an 0-10-1 team.
No, they, you know. Jared Goff didn't have a great day, but he didn't throw a pick, right?
No.
He had like two touchdowns, right? They ran the ball pretty good.
They do just enough not to do anything.
I know. And obviously the Bears, I mean, Andy Dalton was quarterbacking. They're not that good. But here's the thing about the Lions, okay? This is what I'm getting kind of – I don't know. If I'm a Detroit fan, this is what I'm getting kind of sick of every single year. The national outcry that the Lions play on Thanksgiving Day, right?
Yeah.
We don't have a problem with the Cowboys, and Thursday night matchup,
yeah, whatever
occurs,
they give us,
is fine, right? They usually try to give you a good one the best they can. But they give you the Lions because it's a Thanksgiving tradition, and the Lions usually stink, all right? So every Thanksgiving, we get a not-so-good Lions team, and then the national media goes, bah, this blows. I can't stand it. Why are the Lions on every Thanksgiving? We got to get rid of this. You're kicking a whole city while it's down. The Lions are bad, yes. And then you're going to kick them in the face by taking away this one thing they like? This one thing that has been passed down generation to generation that the Lions play on Thanksgiving Day? You want to do this?
The only Keep thing kicking. That's theirs.
Right. It's the only thing they've got. They've got this one team that they love to death that hasn't even been to a Super Bowl. Never been to a Super Bowl. Forget winning it. Never even been to a Super Bowl. When was the last time they were in an NFC Championship game? Have they ever been?
Have they ever been? That's a great question.
I don't know.
That's
a great question. And maybe some point I don't remember. So they haven't had any success in forever, right? And now you're telling the citizens there, the fans, that just, God, please, maybe this was our year. Maybe one year this will be our year. Oh, yeah, that thing you like, we're going to take that away too because we're bored with you. Leave them alone. You can put up with one bad Lions team on your Thanksgiving Day. The Cowboys, good or bad, they're a magnet for attention, right? That doesn't matter. If they're struggling, if they're good, bad, whatever, they're just this big magnet on Thanksgiving that just sucks you in every time. And then again, the NFL goes, and I know, you know, we gave you the crappy Lions on this day, but we're going to try our best to give you some decent game.
All right, you ready for it?
Yes.
All right, they do have a couple of NFL championships to their name.
Okay, so that's like back in the 40s?
Yeah, the last one they won was in 1957.
Okay. Was that Bobby Lane when he was their quarterback?
Sure, I'm just going to go with it. All I know is that that was their fourth championship, and they beat the Browns 59-14 back in 57.
What a matchup.
Now, you did ask NFC championship.
Yes, probably Super Bowl era.
Super Bowl era, last one they've been to, which they lost, and it literally is the only one they've ever been to.
Okay.
1991.
Okay, 91.
Against the former Redskins, 40, right, and they lost 41-10.
All right, that would be Barry Sanders on that team.
Yeah, Wayne Fontes.
Yeah, Wayne Font. Yeah,
Wayne Font was coach of the year that year.
All right, very good. Okay, so they went to one.
Yeah,
okay. They lost since to Mark Rippon and the Redskins.
Since 1991, they have not won a playoff game.
Okay, so there you go. All right, so four, five, six, seven, eight.
They've been to the playoffs only eight times since 1991.
Okay, so they beat a team in 91 to get to the NFC title game.
They beat the Cowboys.
They beat the Cowboys.
And they made it to the division. They were first place in their division.
Okay, so 1991, they beat the Cowboys.
Yep.
And then they go play Washington.
Yep.
And they lose, and we haven't seen them win a playoff game since.
Since.
Okay, now people, we've just presented you.
In fact, I will take it a step further. In the Super Bowl era.
Super Bowl era.
They have only won one playoff game.
Okay, so the Super Bowl era goes to from 1967 to today.
Yes.
Okay? So here's what we're doing, folks. We are laying out the pathetic nature of the Detroit Lions. We are presenting a case that this is a team that is just down, not only down on its luck, they almost need a GoFundMe page.
Not only that, Tony. But how many Super Bowls have there been in the Super Bowl era?
There have been 55.
55.
Right.
They have been a part of 12 of those chances.
12 of those chances. All right. Golly. That's
yeah, they've awful. They've made the
they've
playoffs.
They've made the playoffs 12 times 12 in the
times.
Super Bowl era.
12 times in the last 55 years.
On the one hand, you have a great case person out there that hates Detroit. Well, yes, that's my reason I want to kick them off my Thanksgiving television.
Yes.
They stink and have not been good. But on the one hand, I'm trying to appeal to your sympathetic side that this, again, is a fan base that loves the fact that their Lions play on Thanksgiving. I have interviewed many former Lions in my day. I don't know how, why, I just do. I land some former Lions in my day. I remember talking to a number of guys, and I've asked them about the Thanksgiving Day game. What's it like to play in it? What's the city like? They all say the same thing. It's so important. It is one of the most important moments in Detroit sports is the fact that the Lions play on Thanksgiving. It is the thing. And now we greedy can't watch a bad game if our life depended on it. NFL fan base wants to take this away. Can we just let them have their thing? You're okay. You're okay with this. Believe me, you're okay. Your life isn't going to be
dramatically better if the NFL stuffs you with another team that may or may not be successful. And by the way, who would you give it to? Which NFL team would be the lucky recipient of the traditional Thanksgiving Day game, the early one on your plate? Who deserves that more than anybody else? Why not just keep it where it is and give it to the Lions?
No, I mean, sounds like a plan to me.
Right? Okay, so, and by the way, like, this is what I do, and maybe you should do this too. Like, it's on, I dabble with I help a little bit with some food, I hang around, like,
Yeah,
I'm not staring at my Lions whatever game on Thanksgiving Day in detail with a notepad.
Let's be real here. Has it ever been a primetime thing? Has it ever not been the first game out of the shoot on Thanksgiving?
It's always been the first.
It's during turkey prep.
Yeah.
It's when you're making that last minute run to the store, or you're finishing getting ready and heading over to grandma's house or your aunt's house or your brother's house or wherever you may be heading. It's the game that you're not really paying attention to in the morning.
When I was in second grade, my teacher, Mrs. LeBrun, she made us do a turkey, and then we had to put things on it that we like about Thanksgiving. And I put Detroit Lions on my thing because it was the one, we collected football cards, me and my buddies, so we all knew about football, and we wanted to be football people. And so I put Detroit Lions. That's how long they've been there. They've been there forever. They've been playing Thanksgiving football forever. Don't take it away because you're bored with them. America.
Yeah.
Don't
take it away because they're terrible. They don't have anything else. Yeah. It keeps the economy afloat.
That's it. It's the thing they have. It's the one thing they have they like. It's the one thing they have they're proud of.
It's what they the only thing they can brag about.
And we want to take it away from them because we're Grinches.
While we're
at it. We want to sneak in the middle of the night and shove the tree up the chimney.
You know what? Well, let's just take Motown from them.
That's right. Why not? Right?
Why not?
Golly.
Take Motown.
Exactly.
Tigers, you're gone.
Tigers, Red Wings, take away Hockey Town.
Yeah, take it all away.
Come on. Let's leave it where it is, people. Michigan, I got your back today. I told you how great it was that you stormed the field and saved Jim Harbaugh's job, and I'm sticking up for your Lions. So, all right? Don't say I didn't have your back on this, Michigan.
Yeah. But, I mean, you hear it all the time. And Twitter was ablaze with it.
Oh, of course it was.
And you know,
it's a Thanksgiving tradition.
And you know what was terrible?
Complaining about the Lions being on your TV.
You know what was terrible about it, too? I mean, it wasn't just – it was people who know the reasoning – why the Lions haven't, they still feel the need to complain.
I know.
It's like you've been writing about sports for years. You know why the Lions have this. You know how important this is to them. Yeah, you still want to take it away.
New England, Tennessee on this date.
Yeah.
That's a good game. They should flex this one.
Yeah.
Stop flexing.
We're not flexing anything. We'll flex the primetime game when we're all too full to watch.
Picture yourself being a poor Lions fan, and you say to your son, they've never been good in my lifetime, but we always have Thanksgiving.
They're always guaranteed a national televised game.
Until big sports writer wants to strip it away. Strip it away from us. Take it away. Oh, Cairo Santos, you and your 28-yard field goal.
I feel like we need to be like the team, the Astros, and what was that, Bad News Bears 2?
Yeah,
sitting
exactly.
They're chanting like, let them play.
Yeah, exactly. Let them play. You got the stupid Cowboys. You can have them. Right?
Yeah, why don't we ever hear about that? The Cowboys.
Nobody ever complains about the Cowboys being on Thanksgiving.
You know what? The Cowboys haven't won a Super Bowl in 30 years. Let's take them off TV.
I'm telling you right now, folks, if you threaten to take the Thanksgiving away from Dallas, Jerry Jones is hiring his own mercenary army. Okay? Let's just make it very clear. There's a civil war going to be happening. It'll be Jerry Jones leading an army against every single person in America that wants to kick the Cowboys off of Thanksgiving. But the Lions, forget it. They're just getting kicked in the head.
They're going to track down every blogger's address.
Right.
Anyone who ever tweeted, TikToked, or whatever about it, they're going to track them all down. And it'll just be a massive hunt.
That's what Jerry will do.
It literally will be a turkey hunt.
Exactly. Boy, they were serving so many. That was the thing I loved about how they had so much. They said so much Thanksgiving food they were serving at AT&T Stadium. Did they serve a turducken? Somebody's serving a turducken somewhere, right?
Why is that still a thing?
should never be a thing.
It's
seems
never. I mean,
that's
messing with God.
No, I don't want to. Yeah, I don't want to do that. Like mix meats like that.
No,
it's awful.
Is it, right. Is it even good?
I don't know, man. Right? Chicken, duck, and turkey all.
Now I will say this.
Thing?
I mean, I have it. My wife and I were talking about it. But, you know, I don't know if we have the patience or the time or with whether all would do it, but we would love to try to do a smoked turkey one year.
Ah, yes, good idea. Good idea. That's a good idea.
But that's, I don't know, that I feel like that takes days.
I fried a turkey one year and it came out okay. It came out actually really good, but I just get too nervous with it, man. I just, well, it's too much.
You never see the video of like, this is how you properly do it. And yeah. Look, it turned out great. No, you always see the fireman. It's like, yeah, here's how a fried turkey can end up and your house is ablaze.
It's immediately my house and all my neighbors' houses. And it's like the Chicago fire of whatever, whenever they have a turkey.
Yeah, you're
in
done.
The fryer.
Like, you're done.
You know, the entire citizenry of the town is now homeless because I fried a turkey.
Yep.
In my backyard. All right, Austin Gill is going to join us from Pro Football Focus. Talk some NFL at 40 past the hour. We continue with the Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, have a car problem but don't know where to go? Maybe you're on the road trip when your car breaks down. Let O'Reilly Auto Parts help. Hey, with O'Reilly Auto Parts shop referral program, take the guesswork out of finding a great shop wherever you are. Call an O'Reilly location near you or visit O'ReillyAuto.com and click find a repair shop to find a reputable repair facility or service center for your repairs. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. All right, so we've been talking a lot this morning. We'll have some more NFL coming up, but we've been talking a lot this morning about college football, and we're heading into college football championship weekend, all these conference championships. And I'm curious because here's where I'm sitting right now, right? I get that, and we say this all the time with Jerry Palm when he comes on Thursdays, where we say, these committee rankings, you can't hold them to anything. You know, it's week by week. They crumble it up and they throw it away in the trash can. And you go, okay, all right, I get it. But there also is a feeling that we got to know a little bit of what you're thinking, right? Just a little bit heading into these conference championship games, just a touch. Because if I'm Cincinnati and I'm 12-0 and I got Houston coming up in the AAC championship game, and Houston's playing pretty good, and I beat Houston, I go 13-0. Now, I'm looking at the slate of teams that are around me, and I just need to be one of the four. I don't have to be one. I could be four. I'm fine. I just want to be one of four. So I'm 13-0, right? What do I need to have happen? Well, I certainly need Georgia to beat Alabama, because if Alabama beats Georgia, there's two SEC teams going in. That's 50% of the playoff to one conference. Now, I got to compete against a Michigan team that may win the Big Ten. I'm competing against an Oklahoma State team that may win the Big 12. And I don't necessarily have to worry so much about Notre Dame because I beat them and their season is over. Is there anybody underneath me that I got to worry about? But if I can get Georgia to beat Alabama, I'm in pretty good shape. Because Alabama's two losses kicks them out. And I don't think, I'll tell you right now, I think that a two-loss Alabama team, based on the way they played against Auburn, I think it would have to be a really close game with Georgia to put Alabama with two losses into this thing. That was not a good performance by Alabama until late. That was a bit, like Matt Michelle said last hour, it was a bad offensive line. They let Auburn dictate that game for most of it until that final drive. 97-yard touchdown drive that tied the game. I just think that a two-loss Alabama team with that kills any possibility that they could get in. That leaves Cincinnati at 13-0 in a really good position to go to the bowl to go to the playoff with Georgia and maybe Michigan and Oklahoma State if they were to win their conference championships. Now, if they lose, then Cincinnati would absolutely get in. They'll be. Everybody will be scrambling as much as they can. I'll be very curious to see what the committee thinks right now, but I think Cincinnati is probably in a good position right now to get into this playoff. The biggest concern that I have, and I think it's only a concern from perception. It's not a real, it's not a concern that I think sports should be really involved in, because I think in sports you let the game play out and then whatever comes is whatever comes, right? Like when we go to the Super Bowl, you know, let's say the Bears and the Patriots, right? You have to go way back. But if you're old enough to remember the Super Bowl 20 between the Bears and the Patriots, the Patriots were a wild card team, right? They beat the Jets, they beat the Raiders, and they beat Miami en route to the Super Bowl. Now, the Super Bowl everybody wanted that year was the Bears and the Dolphins, because the Dolphins were the only team to beat the Bears during the regular season. It was kind of a sloppy game. The Bears kind of didn't play particularly well, weren't really ready for that game, and they lost. And so you were kind of hoping, well, how the Bears get redemption against the Dolphins, but the Patriots came in and disrupted the party. And the Bears demolished the Patriots in Super Bowl 20. But as a sports fan base, we didn't say, well, the Patriots didn't deserve to be there in the first place. No, because the route to get to the Super Bowl is clear. And if you accomplish these tasks, you get to play in the Super Bowl. And that's what the Patriots did. So what if it's a blowout? That's the way it goes, right? You know, you can find other Super Bowls on the list where a certain team was heavily favored to get there, didn't get there, and the Super Bowl matchup wasn't really quite what we wanted. But nevertheless, we don't complain about it because the path was clear and the team did it. College football is different. And what I worry about is you get a Cincinnati team that everyone's been buzzing about all season, right? Luke Fickell, this is a team. This is a top 10 team. This is a top 5 team, right? This is now a top 4 team. And what if in their first game, let's say against Michigan, they get blown out? They get blown out badly. Teams have gotten blown out in the playoff before, but those blowouts come against Power 5 conference teams, right? So they become a blowout. But if Cincinnati gets blown out, I'm afraid that the narrative for some is going to be, see, they wasted that spot. They wasted that spot on Cincinnati when you could have had a two-loss Alabama team in there, a two-loss Ohio State team in there, all right, Notre Dame in there, right? That even though Cincinnati beat, might have been better prepared for that moment than a Cincinnati team, right? But what if, you know, what if Oklahoma State is left out for some reason, right? All of those type of questions will be brought up if Cincinnati doesn't hold its own. And that's really unfair, right? It's really unfair. But it seems to be part of the narrative, right, of college football. And we see it. We've seen it a lot. I know I've told you guys the time where Tom Brenneman was broadcasting Georgia, Hawaii, was just criticizing Georgia fans for saying Hawaii was overrated. How dare they? But you know, I said, well, how dare you? Because all year long, people like you were telling us why he was just as good as any team from the SEC. How dare we say otherwise? And then when proof came out in the Sugar Bowl that Georgia was clearly better than Hawaii in every facet of the game, it became don't pick on the small school that got here that got here for a game, you know, chance of a lifetime. We can't have it both ways. I mean, either Cincinnati deserves to be in here, be in the top four, or there's some sort of charity school that we're just doing it to make history, right? If Cincinnati's in the top four, it's because they deserve to be in the top four. And if they get annihilated, they get annihilated. And if they don't, God bless them, right? And if they hold their own, that's on credit too, right? That's the way it should be. Unfortunately, I don't think it's going to be that way. If Cincinnati were to lose and lose big in the opening round in the semifinals of the playoff game, there'll be people saying, see, what did we do? We're not, you know, forgetting that, you know, these schools like Cincinnati are going to be in Power 5 conferences down the road as we shuffle all this stuff up. Right? The same school that you say doesn't belong on the same footing will have the same level of talent at a Power 5 conference school. And maybe they do as well. Maybe they don't. Who knows? But I am curious to see what the public reaction is going to be. I hope Cincinnati holds its own. I hope they play great. I want to see them make a nice little showing in the college football playoff if they get there. My overall point last hour was I don't really see an offense that's going to challenge Georgia. The one offense that I did see that can handle Georgia ain't getting in, and that's Ohio State. All right, we'll talk some NFL coming up next on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that is Ron with two N's, as we continue. It is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. Again, coming up, Austin Gale, pro football focus. You don't want to miss it. It's coming up next.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, now let's go out to the Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Austin Gale joining us, pro football focus, talking some NFL. How are you, man?
Doing great, man. How are yourself?
Good. All right, so Patriots, 8-4. What are you seeing in New England that has made this turnaround from the time when they were 2-4?
Well, I do think that people forget this is a team that spent more than any other NFL team in free agency to improve this roster, and they have. Matthew Judon, Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry, Kendrick Bourne. This team has rapidly improved, and then they added a cost-controlled rookie quarterback under center that they can come in and leverage these assets that they spent big money on, but spent good money on to improve this roster. And now they did get off to a slow start with a rookie quarterback. Now they are one of the highest-ranked teams in EPA per play on offense and EPA per play allowed on defense. They are cooking up a gem and on their way to be the first, you know, the first seed in the AFC. I think the Kansas City Chiefs are hitting gold right now, are on fire a bit down the stretch. But I think it is between those two teams and Buffalo to get that AFC crown.
How would you describe the way they're utilizing Mac Jones, what they expect him to do, and how he's responding to that?
He is limiting mistakes, accurate with the football, and still finding creative ways to get the explosive play. People think this offense isn't explosive because Mac Jones doesn't have a rocket arm. He is hitting open receivers down the football field to a point where they have more explosive receptions, 15-plus yards, than the other team since week 5. That's how good they've been after the catch. That's how good Mac Jones has been finding the open receiver. Jacoby Myers and Kendrick Bourne are not getting talked about enough as receivers that can actually create separation and win after the catch.
Let's go to the team in the AFC East that's alongside them, and that's Buffalo. It's been one of those weird years for Buffalo. When I think they have it together, they lose a game, and then they get it right back together. What has been some of the problems that Buffalo has had this season?
It's been volatile play from Josh Allen. Josh Allen has not played at the same level that he played last year. He was far and away an MVP candidate last year. This year, it's been up and down. He's had more turnover-worthy plays. He hasn't thrown, you know, he hasn't limited mistakes like he did last year. The accuracy has taken a step back. And defensively, it's still a top-flight defense. They rank first in EPA per play allowed all season long. And I think that defense will continue to roll, but that doesn't keep you from running into a handful of buzzsaws this season. I do think Buffalo is a legit contender, but Josh Allen needs to hit more consistency. Mac Jones levels of consistency for them to be considered a legit contender over a Kansas City Chiefs or even New England.
When you look at the AFC North, it was kind of a sloppy game last night, but the Ravens did win despite a 4-interception game for Lamar Jackson. But where do you see the Bengals? Because they get scary, then they're not scary, then they get scary again.
I do think Joe Burrow is playing lights-out football, and he has a receiving core and a running back that he can win with. Like, they can put up 40-plus points against really good defenses in the NFL. Defensively, while they are improved, I still think there's some volatility there. They're still struggling a bit to get pressure on the quarterback. And on the back end, Mike Hilton and Chidobe Awuzie are two of the best free agent signings we've seen from any team this offseason. They've dramatically improved that secondary. Joe Burrow, highest graded quarterback in Week 12 for PFF. If he continues to play like he is, limiting mistakes, finding open receivers down the field, very similar game to Mac Jones, this is a Cincinnati Bengals team that could win the AFC North and do some damage in the postseason.
I will never say a 6-6 team is out with an extra playoff team and a 17-game schedule, but is there just too much inconsistency right now with Cleveland to believe in them right now?
I think so. And I see Baker Mayfield's hurt, right? Like, Baker Mayfield has not been given the opportunity to get healthy, and you see that in his game. This will go down as the least accurate season we've seen, according to PFF's charting, dating back to his days at Oklahoma. He is not the same quarterback that he once was. He is missing throws he normally makes. And then you factor in, they're injured in a lot of places. Harrison Bryant only played 7 snaps last night. You have Anthony Schwartz hurt, Rashard Higgins hurt, OBJ traded. The skill positions aren't what they were either. I do think that the Cleveland Browns, while on paper were supposed to be this juggernaut, they're seeing some injuries hit them to a point where they are going to be inconsistent.
How do you see the Titans now without Derrick Henry and now without Julio Jones, without A.J. Brown? There's just no weapons right now to work with. How do they survive this?
They are very similar. They're in a very similar spot to Cleveland, right? I think Cleveland battling injuries, Tennessee battling injuries. If they can't find some consistency in the health department, it's going to be so difficult for them to put together week-to-week game plans that actually get them ahead of their opponents. The fact that they were 7-point dogs to New England on the road and still didn't even cover the number really does speak to just the problems, the injuries that are plaguing this team right now.
Austin Gill joining us, Pro Football Focus. We'll continue with the AFC, and let's get into the West. I don't want to make a general question here, Austin, but, man, handicap this for me, because who's a player and who's got fool's gold here?
Who's a player in the AFC West? Yeah, I do think that the Kansas City Chiefs are legit. I think the Kansas City Chiefs, as long as you have Mahomes, you're always going to be contending for a Super Bowl. And I know the defense has improved a ton as well. Chris Collins, we talked about it on the broadcast, or Steve Spagnuolo, is turning this defense around slightly. It's still not a top 10 defense in the NFL, but it's improving, and that matters a ton. You don't need a top 15 defense to win with Patrick Mahomes, but you can't have the worst one. And to start the season through week 1 through 8, they're the worst defense in the NFL. Now it's improving ever slightly. Patrick Mahomes finding his groove. This Kansas City Chiefs team is dangerous. They are exactly the team you don't want to play in the postseason.
Let's go to the NFC West. The Rams have lost 3 in a row. What do you? There's a physicality here that they've been running against in their last couple losses to the Titans, the Niners, and then yesterday to the Packers. What else are you seeing with the Rams?
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on with this offense. This offense, through weeks 1 through 8, ranked first in the EPA per play, and then since then ranks 28th. Cooper Kupp had 10 touchdowns in those weeks. He has 0. Teams are catching up to this Sean McVay scheme, and this happens every year. We see this every year from McVay, where in the second half of the season, teams start to catch on to what he's scheming up, and you start to see this offense falter. That's exactly what's happening right now. They need to right the ship and right the ship in a hurry, because even though they have all these stars, OBJ, Matthew Stafford, Von Miller, Aaron Donald, if you keep playing like this, bottom three offense in the NFL, you're not going to be a deep contender in the NFC.
San Francisco at 6-5. This was a team people liked at the beginning of the season. They got off to a slow start. Are they playing the way right now that people was the reason people liked them in the offseason?
I see them very similar to the New England Patriots in the AFC. They don't have a big arm quarterback that's making all these explosive plays, but he's playing the job well right now. He's one of the highest graded quarterbacks over the last 6 weeks. He's efficient with the football, and he's behind a good offensive line right now that's running the football really well as well. Elijah Mitchell is running the ball well. I do think on defense, they're not in the same tier as the New England Patriots, but that's another unit that has improved. They have a very young secondary pass rush that lacked outside of Nick Bosa. If they can improve on that side of the ball more, I think the offense is fine. Improve on the defensive side of the ball more, and I think they will start to become contenders.
Dallas has lost 2 straight, but 3 of their last 4. They were a team in top 5s in offense, in passing and rushing. They were the highest scoring team in the NFL at one point. What has been occurring for Dallas lately?
Dallas right now needs to get healthy. CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper not playing in that Thanksgiving game is a big reason why they lose to Las Vegas Raiders. I think that offense, when healthy, is phenomenal. And now you have Ezekiel Elliott might be sitting down for a bit due to injury, and Tony Pollard getting into the mix. The offensive line has struggled as well. Tyron Smith has struggled to get on the football field. You know, you're starting Connor McGovern at guard. Injuries will plague top-end teams. And when you have them at multiple star-studded positions and you're forced to start a Noah Brown and a Cedric Wilson at receiver, even with Dak Prescott, the Dallas Cowboys aren't going to be able to roll.
Let's take a look at a team that lost yesterday. And again, they're a team with a losing record, and that's Philadelphia. Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts, how are you seeing that relationship? That's a team that, if they had beaten the Giants, would have been around the playoff hunt.
I do think Nick Sirianni is getting the most out of Jalen Hurts. We're seeing what Jalen Hurts can be in an ideal situation. He's running the football well. The offensive line is playing otherworldly. I think where there are bigger issues is they don't really have a notable pass catcher outside of Devontae Smith. And Devontae Smith is still just a rookie. Jalen Reagor with multiple key drops in that game. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside not panning out as they needed. Kez Watkins, not the player you need. This team needs to either build around Jalen Hurts, throw a ton of investment at the receiving core, and even continue to add on defense, or look for a higher ceiling player at the quarterback position. Jalen Hurts is very similar to Lamar Jackson in a way where the offense has to be built around his run game. You're not pushing the ball downfield. I do think that Jalen Hurts, if they stick to him, they need to dramatically improve the weapons around him before you're ready to consider them a legitimate contender.
If you're the New Orleans Saints and you're playing a survival mode right now and you do not want a season to go down the toilet, do you make a change at quarterback or do you do something completely different? They don't have Alvin Kamara. Trevor Siemian can't play very well. If you're Sean Payton, how do you try to keep this team afloat until some good things can occur?
If Taysom Hill is healthy enough to play, you have to start him over Trevor Siemian. Trevor Siemian is not going to keep this team on the track. You need Taysom Hill under center, even though if you feel he's best utilized elsewhere, you just gave him this monster contract extension. Right. If he's healthy enough, I know he's battling a foot injury. If he's healthy enough, he should be under center, and that's the only way you can even get this offense back to being on track. I'm not even saying this puts them back into deep playoff contention, but it keeps the season going into the dumps.
Yeah, because if they were like 3-8, you'd be like, all right, whatever. But they're 5-6. You swing a game or two your way, you're still in the conversation.
100%. I'll tell you right now, Trevor Siemian's not going to be the guy that helps them swing a game their way.
Yeah, right. Anything about the Packers? I know toe injuries and some injuries that they've dealt with, but they've dealt with things like that before. Anything outside of just the general wear and tear on a team that you see could be a problem for Green Bay? Because they look like a cruising.
Well, Devontae Adams is so key to this offense. If Devontae Adams gets hurt, that's probably the biggest non-quarterback injury that could affect any team in the NFL. We've seen what this team looks like without Devontae Adams. I think he needs to stay healthy. And defensively, they just need to continue to roll. Rashawn Gary playing phenomenal. Both their safeties, Adrian Amos and Darnell Savage, it's probably a top safety tandem in the NFL. This defense is underrated because so much of the attention goes to Adams and Rodgers and Jones and Dillon. This defense is top flight. And offensively, like similar to Patrick Mahomes, you have Aaron Rodgers, you're always going to be in this deep playoff contention. That's another team in the NFC, like similar to the Chiefs. Maybe they're not positioned to be the number one seed right now. They are a team to beat in the NFC, and they're exactly the team you don't want to play in the postseason.
Austin, great stuff, and I really appreciate Austin Gale, Pro Football Focus, bringing it. I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You got it. Austin Gale, Pro Football Focus. Rapidly through the league, and I didn't even get to all the teams I wanted to. Ah, that was good stuff. Again, as we continue on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks to Austin Gale, Pro Football Focus on our progressive guest line. This hour of Wake Up Call is presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loan options for your family, Rocket can. By the way, we were talking earlier this morning about Lincoln Riley bolting out of Norman to go take the head coaching job at USC. And that leaves Oklahoma a very, very good job open. And there's immediately, you know, it was the first name that came up almost the second this was announced? Cliff Kingsbury. He's got 1 year left on his contract at Arizona. So you know what I immediately thought, because I'm savvy to this kind of thing? That his agent said, hey, we have 1 year left on our contract with Arizona, and the Oklahoma job just came up. Let's link you to that job so that Arizona will come back with more money.
Yeah.
Like, how fun is that to be an agent?
I mean, let's be real. I'm not going to rule out anything, because anything is possible in this world. But why, with all the successes he's having right now, want to go back to college?
No chance. If I got to be honest with you, if he leaves. Because Arizona right now is 9-2.
Yeah.
9-2. He's got one of the best young quarterbacks in the game right now. He's got a defense that other teams would kill for. If he turned all of that away and said, goodbye, I'm leaving. I got to go on the recruiting trail. I'm going back to Oklahoma. He needs to sit down with somebody and explain this. He has got to explain this. Why? When you decide, when you want to go up to him and go, when you decided to go to the NFL, what did you want to accomplish? Success? You had it. What, did you miss the college game so badly that you had to go back to Oklahoma? You gave up a 9-2 team, a team that probably will have home field advantage through the playoffs if they keep this up?
Literally,
you survived an injury to Kyler Murray, and you're still 9-2.
I can see Pete Carroll going back before.
Oh, yeah, sure. He's done his time, right?
You almost see, name every NFL coach out there.
That just got here 10 seconds ago.
And having success. It would be different if the Cardinals were terrible. If he was Matt Nagy.
Sure.
With the Cardinals, I can see him going. But he's
without question.
But he's having success. He's putting together a winning formula with the Cardinals. He's got his quarterback.
What is the negotiations like with Arizona before the Lincoln Riley announcement? Was it, hey, we have 1 year left. Nah, we'll work on it. Don't just stay cool. We'll be good. Yeah, but it's 1 year. Can you? Yeah, shut up. We'll meet with you later. We got this. Don't just leave us alone right now. I know,
does Kyler have eligibility left that'll follow him there?
Yeah, exactly. And then finally, this nugget of gold lands in the agent's lap, and he successfully gets reporters to say, oh, my guy's linked to this. You didn't know there was an opening 24 hours ago, right?
Or
and you've already linked
did.
Your guy to that. Yeah, maybe he did is right. Maybe they know things in the grapevine that we're not privy to.
But listen, I mean, I saw the photo of him and his just man castle.
Yeah.
You know what he had on draft night,
Completely.
Remember? Just, you know, pool in the background, just sitting back. And this was his NFL draft war room.
Yeah, I'm looking at that mountains of Arizona in the background. You're going to give that up for Norman?
You're looking at that going, no, he's not. I mean, unless he can coach from there.
You've got to be kidding me.
There's no way he's leaving.
He must have been. That agent must have been thrilled to death when Lincoln Riley was taking that job.
So quick.
Right? Oh, this is fantastic.
He probably went to a buddy of his and said, listen, no one knows you and I are friends. Just leak this.
Exactly.
Just get this
Arizona
out there.
Comes running back. We heard you. Yeah, can we sit down and get a 5-year deal on the table right now? Yeah, well, you know, Oklahoma, I'm on the phone with them right now. I'll get back to you. Of course. Crazy sports world. 10 days coming up next. We're so glad to be back this week. Thank you. I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving week. We're going to be rolling along back tomorrow. Mike Golick's going to join the show tomorrow. Thanks for joining us. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.